When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Glad you're with us here on Big Sports Radio. Larry Smith, Brad Sturdy, Mike Kegley, and we are joined now by Clayton Safey of TheWolverine.com as we are looking ahead to Saturday night, Michigan and Hawaii. Clayton, good to talk with you. Hey, listen, Maize and Blue looked really good last week. I guess, you know, it's only Colorado State, but it's a nice way to start the season.
Yeah, I thought it was. It was a clean game. Jim Harbaugh said that afterwards. You know, they didn't have any turnovers. They didn't have many penalties, just one when in garbage time. You know, they forced two turnovers on the defensive side. Defense looked a lot better than a lot of people expected. You know, again, it's Colorado State. We don't know how good they are. They have a first year coach in Jay Norvell. They went 3-9 last season, kind of a rebuild there. But, you know, I mean, they kind of did what they're supposed to do against that type of opponent. So I thought that was a positive. The offense, everyone's talking about the quarterbacks, and I'm sure we'll get into that as well. But there were some other good things. They ran for, 230 yards. 15 different receivers caught a pass. So it was kind of one of those games where they really let a lot of guys play. 84 it was, and Jim Harbaugh said over the next couple of weeks, he hopes to have a roster full of 130 guys who have played in game action. So they got a pretty easy non-conference schedule. Hard to judge fully, but again, you know, they did what they needed to do. They stayed healthy for the most part, which was good too. And you move on with J.J. McCarthy now getting his first career start this weekend against Hawaii.
So I got to go there, ask about the quarterback situation at Michigan. I mean, of course, that's all we talk about, right? I mean, quarterback's the most important position. But Michigan, you know, the old adage used to be if you don't have one starting quarterback, you don't have any, right? Or if you have more than one, you don't have any. So I don't know if that's true with them. I think they got two pretty good ones. What's the situation with those two?
Yeah, that adage is so fascinating. And Jim Harbaugh has multiple times brought up unsolicited over the last few weeks about how, you know, he doesn't agree with that. I don't either. I do at times. I don't agree with it if you have two good quarterbacks. And I think Michigan's in that boat. If you have two bad quarterbacks, and I mean, look at Iowa, for example, what, two or three? I mean, no offense to those guys, but they're just not playing at a high level. They didn't play at a high level last season. And we see the state of their offense where they had 7 points and didn't score a touchdown, you know, two safeties and a field goal. So those are kind of the polar opposite situations. Michigan's in a good spot. Cade McNamara started 16 consecutive games. He's got the experience. You know, we kind of know what he brings. So that's why, although he struggled a little bit on Saturday, he went 9-for-18, had a few drops, started out 1-for-5 and then settled in a little bit, had a few nice throws. Again, it's tough to tell. You know, I think for Cade McNamara, the senior, you know, his tape is out there. We saw what he did last season. They have said he improved a lot. Jim Harbaugh called him one of the most improved players on the team. So didn't totally see that on Saturday, but we'll see him again this Saturday night. J.J. McCarthy, on the other hand, played only 11 snaps, but it's funny how he's the talk of the town because he was so good in those 11 snaps. Three rushes for 50 yards, had a 20-yard run, and then went 4-for-4 passing, you know, little short passes, but still looked good there, zipped the ball around. He's got the bigger arm. He's more mobile. He kind of opens up that read option type of run stuff in the offense. So there's pluses to both guys. I mean, I think if you play J.J. McCarthy the rest of the season, you are going to probably have some more turnovers, but you might have bigger plays too to offset that. If you play Cade McNamara, you're going to make less mistakes. You're going to probably lean on the run game a little bit more, but he can make plays too. So they're in a good position. This weekend is going to be really, really, really fun to watch Saturday night because if JJ lights it up, and it's Hawaii is literally one of the worst teams in the FBS. So it's going to be really hard to, you know, tell exactly what the truth is in terms of how good these guys are. But considering he had the better game last week, and if he comes out and plays well again this Saturday, it's going to be tough, I think, in my mind, for Jim Harbaugh and the coaching staff to not start him the following week against UConn. So it feels like the job at this point is not his to lose, but right there for the taking, I guess I would say.
Talking with Clayton Safey of thewolverine.com. And Clayton, to your point, I think that this, the critics are saying, well, McNamara, is your incumbent. He led you to the playoffs last year. I mean, it's not like this guy is, can't get the job done. To me, it speaks to how well, to your point, that McCarthy performed in the spring and in the preseason. Former five-star recruit, like you said, on the field, he showed it. He's got a great chance this week to show that. To me, it just really says that how much he's improved in the past year, because Harbaugh, the former quarterback, at Michigan and in NFL, veteran coach now, he's done it all, been to a Super Bowl, kind of knows what he wants in a quarterback. And the fact that he can't make up his mind, he can't make a decision right now, I think speaks volumes, not so much a knock on McNamara, but just how well McCarthy has performed.
I wrote a column on that last week. I thought you said that eloquently. I mean, so JJ McCarthy actually missed the spring with a shoulder injury. He wasn't fully healthy until the end of the summer. And that makes what he has done here to get himself in position to potentially win this job in week three all the more impressive, in my opinion. He rehabbed. He did not do a surgery on a labrum injury and finally got fully healthy before fall camp. Jim Harbaugh described it as him being on fire towards the end of fall camp. Then he goes out and does what he did against Colorado State, where he kind of looked like he was more so just having fun and playing loose out there, looser than I thought that he did last season as a freshman, which makes sense, right? And he said the game has slowed down for him a little bit. Cade McNamara, on the other hand, looked a little tighter. Even some guys that were on the field were saying, it looked like he was gripping the ball tight, almost like, a pitcher that is kind of, pressing a little bit or, is in a jam in baseball. So, it's insanely impressive. And adding on to that, I mean, the fact that Cade McNamara was described as one of the most improved players on the team, that right. JJ McCarthy is already right there with him neck and neck. I mean, that's impressive.
Right. And it reminds me of a few years ago, we had a situation at Clemson where
yes.
they had an incumbent quarterback and they had a five-star hotshot come in and went undefeated the rest of the way. And his name, of course, Trevor Lawrence. So sometimes these things happen, Brad.
Yeah. Quarterback's obviously an important position, but I think Jim Harbaugh loves to run the ball too. And he also really, last year they relied on that defense. What's the defensive situation for Michigan? I mean, last year they had some really good early, their defense was dominant, and then how are they this year? Obviously they lost some NFL draft picks. So that changes things.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was really, I got so sick of writing about that throughout the offseason. Well, what are they going to do without Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo? I mean, two first-round talents. Ojabo obviously had the injury, so went in the early second round. But then you have Dax Hill, a first-rounder at the nickel spot. They lost seven starters overall from that defense. It's like, man, I mean, guys are going to have to step up. Again, the caveat here, and everything has to be put in this context of it was Colorado State. But what Michigan showed, I thought, was pretty impressive on the defensive side. They were rotating in a ton of guys at the edge spot and on the interior of the defensive line. All told, they got seven sacks with 11 tackles for loss. Last year in the opener against Western Michigan, with those guys I mentioned, like Aiden Hutchinson, only one sack. So that is something to note. I mean, this is, Western was maybe better than Colorado State, but the fact that they could do that this early, I think, really impressed a lot of people. They seem to have some different options, to rush the passer. I thought the secondary looked really good against Colorado State's air raid offense, tackling in space, those kind of quick passes that are basically, a run play, just getting out to the edge, a little bit quicker. Michigan was there. So the defense so far, so good, probably better and, on a better trajectory than I thought. I thought this could be a good unit by the end of the season, but it looks good now with the potential to be almost as good as last season, which was number eight in the country in scoring defense. So pretty, pretty high bar, but wouldn't bet on them being the same there, but there's a lot of talent, guys that were probably waiting for their shot. And they said they played with a chip on their shoulder and kind of want to prove people wrong.
You know, I'm curious, talking with Clayton Safio, thewolverine.com, about Jim Harbaugh. You know, you're there on the ground in the trenches every day with this program and watching the ebbs and flows, as you just mentioned. What's different now about Harbaugh or the team or this program or, you know, the Michigan fans having reached the playoffs? You know, there were so many years that you got close and didn't make it in. We're not going to talk about getting a lot of the headlines. Is there something different this year now that you've broken through and you got to the Final Four?
I would say so. I mean, there's been high expectations in the past. Don't get me wrong. I mean, when he came in 2016, they were right there. You know, they lose to Iowa towards the end of the season and then Ohio State in double overtime in Columbus. So, I mean, there were some moments, and then they go into 2019. They were favored to win the Big Ten after Urban Meyer, you know, unceremoniously left and Ryan Day was taking over, and they were a little bit of an unknown. So there's been seasons that you've come into with high expectations in the last 7-8 years, but this one does feel different because they got over that barrier of being able to beat Ohio State. So you're able to say, well, we can do that again. We have guys on this roster that know what it takes. Same with winning the Big Ten, same with getting to the college football playoff. Every guy we've talked to basically says they want to do two things. One, prove last year wasn't a fluke. And two, you know, go even higher, make the national championship game, win the national championship. I mean, obviously they're going to say those things, but it does feel a little bit more realistic. You know, I don't have them winning the national championship, but it feels more realistic than it ever has probably under Jim Harbaugh. As far as what's different with him, he is kind of the same guy all the time. And it's obviously fascinating to cover and really fun to cover at times as well. But it does feel like he likes this team and loves the depth of talent. He finally kind of has built the culture and the depth of talent that I think he's been looking for. And a couple guys close to the program have said that, where they feel really good about where things are at in terms of the roster. He's been more open this year talking about team goals, what they want to accomplish. In the past, he hasn't said much on that and keeps it internal, which is fine. But I think he realizes he has the team that he can kind of put the pressure on them and see if they live up to it.
Clayton, I think Michigan has a pretty favorable schedule. I think you mentioned that earlier. With having Penn State and Michigan State at home, they go to Columbus at the end of the season. But so I have to ask a question, though. I know it's the Ohio State-Michigan game. It's the game every year. Is the Michigan State game almost as important to this team this year after the way that the fact they lost to them last year? There have been a couple of games, actually, where Michigan kind of gave it away against the Spartans since Harbaugh's been there. So is that game almost as important now on the season schedule?
So it's amazing. Jim Harbaugh's 3-4 against Michigan State. They were favored in all 7 of those games. So it's incredible what Michigan State has done. They've won a couple really close, including last season against Michigan. It didn't come back to bite Michigan because they beat Ohio State. Right. But, I'm never going to say that it's as important as the Ohio State game, but I will say I think there's an elevated, you know, sense of these guys really want to beat Michigan State. And going back to Jim Harbaugh being open with the team goals, his 4 team goals were to beat Michigan State and Ohio State in the same season, win the Big Ten, make the college football playoff, and win the national championship. So they're putting, you know, everything is always, you know, put in the context of, well, is it good enough to beat Ohio State? Are we going to beat Ohio State? Are we good enough? But it feels like there's an added emphasis on Michigan State this year. So I think you're reading that correctly. They don't want to drop that game at home. You don't want to lose 3 in a row to, a program that if you're Michigan, you feel is probably inferior and less talented, frankly. Again, credit to them for what they've done over the last few years. But I think that is a sense that they really want to get that done this year for sure.
College football expansion, the big news here in the past few days, with it going from 4 teams to 12 teams. Some would like it to be sooner. I think that it's not going to happen until 2026. And of course, there's a big conversation there. But, you know, it's going through this. To me, I looked at, you know, what teams stand to benefit from this right away. And the team at the top of my list is Michigan. That's the one team that I think that if you had 6 teams or 8 teams or 12 teams in past several years, Michigan is in the mix in a lot of those years and has the talent to pull off, and I'm using air quotes here, an upset to move on to the championship game. I mean that in no disrespect, but I think this is, I'm just guessing that in the Michigan world, this was a huge win. Not that you can't get in by winning the Big Ten, et cetera, but it's just that you're going to have a seat at the table. There's a much easier seat at the table to obtain, and you've got the talent to run the table once you're there.
Yeah, so great points. I mean, I actually wrote about this right after the news broke as well, where
I need to write two. I need to read your website more often, obviously.
No, I'm not saying I'm just saying that that we're in lockstep here. That yeah, there's two things.
Right,
yeah, there's two things that stand out to me with this is one, you're right. I think Michigan stands to gain because they would get in the field of 12 quite a bit. I actually went back and looked at it. So coming out of or entering bowl season, Michigan has been in the top 12 in the rankings, whether that was AP, then BCS, and now College Football Playoff, 27 of the last 53 years. So that's more than half. Obviously, it hasn't been as frequent over the last couple decades. It would have been three or four times during Harbaugh's tenure. So absolutely, they would have gotten in more. I think they stand to gain in that aspect that they'll probably make it if things, you know, continue to go pretty well here in Ann Arbor. Two is once you are in and once you can prove, and this doesn't just go for Michigan, this goes for, you know, even the Notre Dames or even like a Wisconsin or, you know, somebody like that. You can sell that to a recruit and tell them, you know, hey, we're in the mix here. I think it's going to create more parity in college football, which I have been longing for a while. We see the same three teams accumulate all the talent. Joel Klatt from Fox Sports did a great segment this week talking about, I think it's Alabama has 46 of the five stars out there. They have almost double of Georgia, but then everybody else is like in the single digits, maybe outside of Ohio State. I mean, they're hoarding the talent. So, and it makes sense because they're the teams that are competing. So if you want to win a national championship and you get those offers, you're probably going to go there more times than not. Also love this about the home games in the first round. We're all Midwest guys, I assume, you know, I mean, they're going to have to come up here to a Columbus or an Ann Arbor or a Champaign, Illinois, or, you know, some East Lansing, and play in this weather in December. I think that's an advantage too for Northern teams in a sport that does not afford many of those.
Yeah, actually, you know, I think that's huge with the 12 teams. Now, I'm crazy enough to think that this year, when I look at this schedule for Ohio State and for Michigan, you could reach the end of the year with these both of these teams being undefeated and legitimately both having a shot at the College Football Playoff, win or lose. Which is kind of wild when you think about it, the Big Ten could be there. But I think when you look at the way it plays out this year, I think they're the two most talented teams in the Big Ten. And now it comes down to just taking care of business in the games they should win leading up to that. Am I crazy?
No, you're completely right. And, you know, under Harbaugh, Michigan has not gone into that Ohio State game undefeated. They've always lost at least one game. You look at last year, their best season, they still lost that game to Michigan State. Now, you know, you can win the division, obviously, with what they needed a little bit of help from Purdue beating Michigan State. So it wasn't totally in their hands. But I agree. The Iowa game on October 1st does not look as daunting as it did, you know, maybe preseason. And again, we'll see if Iowa figures it out. The defense looked good. You have Michigan State. You have Penn State at home. You have Nebraska at home in mid-November. Who knows what they're going to be at that point? Who knows who's going to be coaching them, all that. You have a potential trap game against Illinois at the end of that month before they go to Ohio State. So there's still going to be some potential roadblocks, but I think it sets up really nicely for Michigan. I think there's a good chance to go into that undefeated. Probably Ohio State will too, now that they got past Notre Dame. And it would set up quite an epic, you know, game. I predicted in our preseason magazine that we do, our Michigan football preview, that Michigan would get into the playoff even after losing to Ohio State. It was probably just – I threw it out there for fun. But you need so many other things to go right. But I think either one of those teams could put themselves in that position if they go into that last game undefeated. You need, you know, Georgia probably to drop an extra game they're not supposed to. Maybe Clemson to lose a game because I think they're going to take them. If they're undefeated, you know, you need some help from somebody beating Oklahoma or something like that. There's so many different things that would need to play out, but I agree with you. I think that could happen with both those teams undefeated, and we could see two Big Ten teams in, which is crazy. It'd be the first time, I believe, ever, right? Since, you know, the playoffs started.
Yeah, we haven't had two SEC, of course, but yeah, not two.
Yeah.
Big. Yeah. Hey, Clayton Safey, great to talk with you, and hopefully you'll come on the show again soon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
I appreciate it. Clayton Safey of thewolverine.com, a website I'm going to go read right now because clearly I don't spend enough time on there. I haven't been there before, just not in the last week. But great stuff. Awesome to have great minds think alike. You're welcome here anytime. Clayton Safey, thewolverine.com, Michigan taking on Hawaii this week, looking to go 2-0 and maybe solve their quarterback question. Although we'll see what happens. Hey, much more to come up next here. You're listening to the Big Sports Radio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.